Wednesday night, I wasn't here, and you guys were in the trailer, and I'm sure some of you may have wondered where I was at, but I was at East Pauling High School for an event that was called Fields of Faith. Is that correct? Fields of Faith. And it was very, very good. But one of your peers or your friends had an opportunity to speak, and it was Miss Lauren, and she did a great job. It was very, very good, and I could tell that, you know, she was a little nervous. There was quite a few people there, and she was standing in front of them on the track with nothing around to hide behind, you know, nothing to stand like this or even this. It was literally just out in the middle, and she was speaking about a time in her life that was very significant. She had went on a trip overseas to help, it was a mission trip, if I'm not mistaken, to help other student or to help younger children and people that were in need. And while she was over there, she saw the many needs of all the people, and she made a decision. She said, "This is what I'm going to do with my life. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to spend my life in this country as soon as I can get over here, serving the Lord, helping these people." So she come back home when the mission trip was over, and this is what she spoke about. She said, "You know, when I got back home, something changed." She said, "I began to seek what God wanted me to do. I asked Him what He wanted me to do." And that God revealed something to her a little different than her plans were. God revealed to her that you need to be here doing the same thing, helping fill the needs of others and serve God right here in America. But that was God's plan for her. And sometimes that's where the confusion starts. We get a great idea of what we think we should do, but have we run it before God? And the name of the lesson, or at least the theme of the lesson, is how am I going to be what God wants me to be? How am I going to be what God wants me to be? It's not always a super easy question to answer, but I think what's happened is there are so many people all around, and they come to me at work periodically, and they try to convince me that, you know, there's only a certain amount of people going to go to heaven, and we're going to work as hard as we can to get there, and then we'll find out after we die if we're going to go to heaven. That's what they say they're going to do. And there are other people all over the place. There's Christians all over the world. They're working their tail off to see if it's going to be good enough, if they've earned God's approval. And if I want to know exactly what God wants me to be, the first thing I got to know is I'm not trying to earn God's approval. There's nothing that I'm going to do that is going to impress God. And truly, I think that these people really don't know that God loves them. Have you ever stopped and thought in your mind just for a moment, hey, God loves me? You ever thought how much He loves you? You know, God loves me. God loves you. And He doesn't have a little zapper on His side like a pistol, like a cowboy. And when you get to the end of your life, if you didn't make the top notch of people, He's not like, gotcha. You didn't make it. Everybody else made it. Mm-mm. You didn't get here. You weren't quite good enough. Everybody else, this group made it right here, but everyone below this line doesn't get there. Gone. Think about that as a concept. That's not what the Bible teaches. God uses you and I, just like we are, to show off His glory. We are transformed by Him. By Him. But the part that I started with was, how do I know who God wants me to be? What do I do when I don't know the answer? The truth is, you got to ask the Lord. We're going to get to the lesson here in a little bit, but I got to get through this part first. What do I do when I don't know the answer? I ask God. And this is what got me when I was studying some of this is, what should you expect from God? Now, I want you over here, just this side, raise your hand if you are saved. All right. Now, let me ask a question. It's just a small question. How many of you believed when you said, Lord, I want you to save me. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me and He shed His blood and He rose again and that Jesus is the way? Did you believe it when you prayed it? Did you believe that God saved you when you asked that? Do you believe it? All right, I'm going to go over here. How many of you believe God saved you when you asked you? when you ask him to do it. You believe that? I believe it. When I said, Lord, would you save me? When I come to an altar, actually it was a chair in a pastor's office. I believe he saved me right then. I believe if I would have died 5 seconds later, I would have went to heaven. That's what I believe. But that's what I expect from God. But how come when I don't know what God has in store for me, when I ask him and I say, Lord, what is it that you have in store for me? How come I don't expect the same results? You ever notice that when there's something in your life and you're going, Lord, I need a clear answer, but you can't seem to come up with it, that we don't have the same confidence that he'll answer that prayer? Do you notice the difference? There's two. Some people say, well, he doesn't have to answer it very fast. He doesn't have to answer it very fast. But he will answer your prayer. Romans 10:13 is where I have jumbled my, here we go. It said, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I was faithful just like you were when I prayed to him that he'd save me. But here's where we get into our side of it. What happens when God asks you for something? Just like Lauren. She said, hey, I'm going to go over here to this mission field and I'm going to serve because it's the right thing to do. But when she got back home, she realized, hey, God's got something different for me to do. You know, sometimes God asks me to do things just like he asks you to do things I'm not comfortable with. But do you jump on it as fast as the Lord answered your prayer? Do you jump on it? Are you right on it or are you hesitant? Or sometimes do we just simply slide it across and slide it to the side and say, I'll get to it when I have time? And the question is, are you lazy with your faith in God? Do you respond as you should? You know, when a man goes to work every day, and I got to move this. I can't stop messing with it. When a man goes to work every day, and I see them at work, and they come home, and their wife meets them at the door, and they complain about their job all day. They say, oh, I've got a horrible job. I can't bear this anymore. I don't like doing this anymore. And his wife says, well, I need you to take out the trash. And he says, can I just do it tomorrow? Have you ever left garbage in the house? It stinks. Bad. Whole house stinks. And his wife says, well, will you check the oil in my car? I'll do it tomorrow. I'm just not in the mood. And he goes and he sits down on the couch. And he sits there and he's still complaining about his job and he's just soaking up time. Just letting things pass. And everything's cruising along. You know, there is a name for people that act like that. It's called a couch potato. And I know you've heard that. It's a couch potato. They've sat there so long that they're starting to sprout little eyes out of their sides. And they're growing into the couch. And before you know it, you'll have to dig to get them out. If they want to get out. But you know what I'm talking about. And we all, everybody in this room says, I don't want to be a couch potato. But physically, the man I described is a couch potato. Did you know that you can be a spiritual couch potato as well? You can. You know, I believe that when I was saved, that God give me the Holy Spirit to dwell in my body. But if I took the Holy Spirit and I do nothing that the Holy Spirit says to me, then I'm a spiritual couch potato. I've got it, but I just don't do anything with it. I'm not happy with it. I don't boast. I don't tell people about it, and I don't listen. I just don't use it. It's just sitting there, just soaking up space. But that, God doesn't need spiritual couch potatoes. He needs active spirits like you and I. But that brings us to the scripture that we're going to read. It's 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting in verse 6. And this is Paul's writing, and it's warning against idleness or couch potatoes. All right. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model to follow you, or for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: if a man will not work, he shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy. They are busybodies. Some people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. As for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of him. Do not associate with him in the order that he may feel ashamed. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as your brother. Now, Paul's speaking about physically right there. He is saying, literally, some of you guys are too sorry to get off the couch. You're just sitting there soaking up food and not doing anything. And of all the things that you've got, you heard us preach, you've heard us teach, and you're doing nothing. And Paul's even saying, he said, I'm trying to show you the example by being the example. I'm trying to show you what to do. Watch what I've done. Some of them just aren't going to get it. But here we go. How do I live the life and be the person that Jesus wants me to live for eternity? And you say, well, wait a minute. What do you mean eternity? I mean forever. That's what we're preparing for, right? We're preparing to live forever. One day we're actually going to be with Jesus. Every single day we're going to move a little closer. Every single day we're going to move a little closer. We don't know how far away it is. We know it's beyond today, but one day we're going to meet him. And that's what we got to be ready to do, because, you know, we live today like it's going to be something so much that it's so far off that we can't visualize it. There's going to be a day where it comes true, where we will be living with Christ literally forever. So I say, how? How do I prepare for eternity? Well, I ask the Lord. David asked the Lord. In Psalm 144, verse 1, it says this. It says, praise be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. People say, what are you talking about war for? We ain't going to fight a war. I tell you now that when you leave those doors right there and you go outside, war is in front of you. Satan's going to be looking for you. Why is Satan going to be looking for you? Because are you God's child? Yes. If you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're his. Satan don't want you to be effective. In fact, he's looking for you to stumble. And if I want to be trained to live for an eternity, I'm going to have to ask the Lord for it. I've got to depend on him to get it. You know, God tells us to depend on him for this. In Proverbs 3:5, I believe it was Solomon, he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So in other words, don't count on you to be preparing for forever. Just lean on God. Look at Christ. He'll show you how. What happens is, like Lauren, it happened earlier, she put her plans together, but when she put her plans down in front of God for this lifetime, God simply said, those are not the ones we're going to use. Who knows? Who's played football? Who's played football? Who knows what a playbook is? Who's had to study a playbook? You know what I mean? When the coach says, here, bring this back in 2 days and memorize these. And you're going, man, there's 100 pages in here. And there's 4 plays per page? I'm not going to memorize all this. There's no way. But Lauren had a playbook. She said, look what I've got. I've got this playbook. She sits it down in front of the Lord, and the Lord says, nope, we've got a different playbook. Let's use this one. Let's use this playbook. This was what I've got for you. Just like that most of us in this room have done, especially the ones behind you, have had their own ideas at some point in time. Are you willing just to push your playbook aside? Or do you just keep it close? You know what I'm saying? I like my playbook. I'm comfortable with what's in there. What if the Lord's idea is different? Have you ever been talking to a friend and have a little bit of a spat over a text message? You know what I'm talking about? Just a little sharp, edgy words. Just a little bit. You know, because you can't really yell on a text. You can type capital letters, but you can't yell. And then the next time you get around that person, you both remember it, but neither one of you say it. It's kind of standoffish for just a little bit. It's that awkward conversation or awkward silence. You know, that's the way that I feel when I go to the Lord, when I know that I'm going to Him in prayer and I'm saying, Lord, I know I did this wrong and I did what You did not want me to do. And then I've got this awkward conversation between Him and I because I know that I did it wrong. I did what He didn't want me to do. He's preparing me forever to live with Him forever. And now I've got to go in front of Him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. But I've got to remember when I'm talking to the Lord about this, I'm talking to Him and in preparation to live with Him forever. And I want your honesty here. How many of you have a hard time soaking in eternity with God? I cannot do it. I think about, Lord, prepare me for eternity. And I just can't see that far. You have a hard time? I can't do it. When I start saying, Lord, I want to live with You for eternity. Show me how to do it. And then my mind can't comprehend it. So I shrink it down. I shrink it down to something I can understand. How about a lifetime? All right, Lord, I want You to show me how to live for You for just a lifetime. That's our number one goal, right? To go through this life and serve Jesus. That's our goal, right? It's all about Him. It's not about... Hey, all right, Mr. Joe, it's not about us. This is the thing I mentioned earlier. I don't want to become spiritually lazy to where I can't serve Him anymore because what I've done is I've taken what He's given me when He saved me and I just didn't use it. Brother Joe mentioned something the other day in a service. How many of you ever seen dogs fight? You ever seen dogs fight? You know that it's that thing that you know, you hear them barking and growling, and you think, man, I don't want to look at that, but you can't look away at the same time. It's kind of like a train wreck. You know, there's a train wreck coming, and you're thinking, I don't need to look at that, but you can't stop. So you do this, like it's better. But there's two dogs fighting, and you hear the snarling. Well, Brother Joe describes something about a battle that's going on inside of you. It's a battle of the flesh and a battle of the spirit. And it was like there were two dogs and they were fighting. And whichever one you feed is going to win. Remember, I'm trying to serve the Lord for a lifetime. I've got to feed one of them dogs. Anybody got a dog? You ever forgot to feed him? What happens when you do feed him? He gobbles it up. It's gone. So which one are you going to feed? That's the thing. If you feed the dog of the flesh and you don't feed the spirit, that dog grows and gets bigger. And when that dog gets bigger, it intimidates the other dog. The other dog simply slides off into a corner. And every time he feels like it's time to rise up, that other dog just shows his teeth and that dog just cowers back down. But if it's the opposite way around and you feed the spirit, and that dog beats the dog of the flesh, the same thing happens. That dog slides off into a corner. And every time the flesh rises up, the spirit subdues it. And it hushes. How about this? What are Paul's words? I believe it's 1 Corinthians. Paul says, I die daily. And you say, well, I don't understand where you're trying to tie this together from. I die daily. You know, really, most of the time our desire is going to be with that dog of the flesh. I don't want to feed that one. I want to feed the other one. You know, I don't know what it was like in Paul's time when he was coming up. I don't know what he felt like, what kind of situation he was in, what bed he was in. But when I get up in the morning in my house, because you guys are young, you wouldn't understand this, and I'm quite older. When I get up, I can't put my feet on the ground immediately because they hurt. And then I take baby steps like this, all the way to the kitchen. And by the time I get to the kitchen, I'm taking bigger steps like this to get to the coffee machine. But all the way to the coffee machine, I'm trying to have a conversation with the Lord, saying, Lord, good morning. It's another day. Lord, I want to set me aside, and I want to live today for you, Lord. I'm trying to live a lifetime for you, Lord. I want you to show me how, but I've got to start this morning somehow. Lord, get me where I need to be. If you'll remember, the Bible says that you were purchased. And if you say that I'm God's child, you realize that now your life is in His hands. And I get up, I've got to be ready to live for Him, not for me anymore. I can't live for me anymore. I got to live for Him because I'm His. Amen. In Romans 8, 9, it says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, then they do not belong to Christ. If I'm living in the flesh and I don't ever go to the other side, what's the Bible say? The Bible says something different. Remember, we're only going to be getting closer to God from this day forward. From this day forward, remember when I'm speaking to the Lord, I'm speaking to the God that I'm going to spend forever with. And the very last, and moving to the third point, sometimes I have the hardest time understanding, just like eternity, I'm going to live my entire life for the Lord. I just can't see what it's like to be 60 or 70 years old. I can't imagine it. There are some people back there that can. I'm not even being funny. But when they were your age, they couldn't imagine that age. They couldn't put it that far. They couldn't look that far into the future. They couldn't feel how bad their back will hurt. They couldn't imagine the things that they were going to go through in life. And if God had let them in on it, they probably would have done things differently throughout their life to prepare for it. Remember, don't be spiritually lazy. I'm trying to fill my heart with Christ. But what if we're just looking for tomorrow? Lord, I want you to show me how to do it tomorrow. I can't see that far. I just want to do it tomorrow. If I can just get through one day, I've got to get ready for tomorrow. Matthew 6:34 says this. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So what's Jesus say? He said, don't even worry about tomorrow. Just worry about today. Just worry about right now. Just worry about what you've got in front of you. Ephesians 2:10 says, and this is something I was speaking about the other night at East Pauling. It said, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God's got something for you and me, and I want to do it now. I want to get started today. Let's do it today. My question is, what's holding you back from getting ready for forever? What is it that's got you held back? You know, I imagine sometimes standing in front of the Lord, and I don't know if you guys run this through your mind or not, but occasionally I'll imagine, like, I'm standing in front of God, and God, and this it's that there's no speech. It's just me and just there. You know, what am I going to say? Am I going to be able to speak? Am I going to be able to do anything? Is He going to speak? I don't know. But I do know this. When I stand there, I want to be exhausted. I want to be worn out. I don't want to have any gas left in the tank, if you know what I mean. I want to stand in front of the Lord and say, God, I give you everything I got for this lifetime. That's the way I want to stand there. I want to give it my all. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said, I have fought the good fight and I have finished the race. I kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to have longed for his appearing. You know, Paul was ready for that. Paul said, I've done everything I know to do. I've done everything that I believe that I could have done for the Lord. Not without mistake. It feels like Paul was exactly where he needed to be with the Lord. I've done everything I need to do. And that's what I'm asking you today. Are we making excuses and becoming spiritually lazy? Are we really putting into it what it takes? Are we really focusing on what God wants us to do and receiving what God would have us do for an eternity with Him? Now, if you would, I want you to stand up for me. You know, how many of you can say that I'm feeding the Spirit in my life every day by reading and spending time and praying to the Lord, that I'm doing it the right way? Can you say that? All right. So if the Lord asks you, if God asks you to go to a foreign country, would you be very quick to say, yes, Lord, I will? Maybe. How about this? What if the Lord said this? I want you to learn about me. I want you to read your Bible for roughly an hour a day, so you can learn about me in this book, the Bible. Does that sound like something that you'd be willing to do if the Lord asked you to do so? Well, to feed the Spirit, don't you think that that's something that's necessary? That we read and understand what God wants us to do? Don't you agree? That would be great. If every day we could spend a little more time with Him, a little more time learning about Him, a little more time knowing what He wants for every day of my life. And these altars are going to be open in just a second, and I'm going to ask Brother Chris if he'd play a song here in just a moment. And if the Lord's speaking to you and you want to use the altar, the altars will be open. But I ask you again, if the Lord ask you to read the book every single day, would you do it to avoid being spiritually lazy? Chris, would you play the song?